Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. And for this edition of Garden Talk, we are going to take a look at square foot gardening. It's become very popular for many people. Others don't know very much about it. And so we're going to learn a little bit more about it today and certainly answer your questions. And our guest to do that, Kim Roman, is a square foot gardening certified instructor. She's been using this method of growing vegetables since the late 1980s and certainly can answer your questions. I'm pretty sure about that. Have you tried the square foot gardening method? How's it working for you? Questions about it? Give us a call. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go ahead and post up on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page. You can post your questions or comments. And if you got a square, some gardening photos, love to see those as well from past years. And let's now turn and welcome Kim Roman. Kim, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, thank you so much for having me on your show.
I've been looking forward to this. You teach people how to garden using that square foot gardening method. And we have many master gardeners listening in, but others who may not know very much about it. So let's talk about what square foot gardening is all about, what it is and what it's about.
Sure. So if you're not familiar with square foot gardening, it's a super simple, small space gardening method. Mel Bartholomew created the original method and introduced it 40 years ago, back in 1976. He updated the method in 2007 to make it even easier. And in it, we do not rototill, we do not dig. As Mel says, no digging, no tilling, no weeding, no kidding.
It's wonderful, and people are saying to themselves, maybe saying to themselves, how the heck do you get away with that?
Right. Well, we simply put down a layer of heavy-duty weed cloth onto the ground. We place a bottomless raised bed on top of that. We fill it with what we think is the perfect soil mixture, and it's called, lovingly called, Mel's Mix, after Mel Bartholomew. And it's a great, fertile, loose and friable, weed-free growing medium. And then on top of that growing medium, we lay a grid on top of it, and that visually divides the planting area into one-foot sections. And there's that name, square-foot gardening, one-square-foot section. Mm-hmm. So we strategically put the seeds or transplant into those individual squares according to the thin two directions on the seed packet. And compared to a traditional row garden, we get 100% of the harvest in only 20% of the space, using 10% of the water, only 5% of the seeds, about 2% of the work, and almost no weeds.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, it could hardly be simpler sounding, at least, than that.
It is.
Well, what's Mel's Mix? You know, what goes into Mel's Mix?
Right. It is one-third by volume, coarse vermiculite,
okay,
peat moss or cocoa core, and one-third of a really excellent, nutritious, blended compost.
And that's it?
That's it.
You put it in, you water it, and plant your seeds or put in your
transplants
yeah, and there you go.
Yeah, just it's almost that easy. Of course, you have to read the book or learn from maybe one of a local certified instructor, and you can learn the method in about an hour, hour and a half, and be ready to go.
I mentioned earlier, you're owner of Square Foot Gardening for You. Talk about that for a little bit and how that works into all this.
Okay, well, I am located in Glen Burnie, Maryland, just south mm-hmm. of Baltimore. And basically, I go out and I teach small space gardening, square foot gardening, but we have a network of certified square foot gardening instructors in the United States and really all over the world. We have about 700 of us.
Oh, that's very, very cool. We can talk a little about that certification program as well. Kim Roman, our guest today, she is a certified instructor in square foot gardening, talking with her about the whole process of square foot gardening. What about you? You have a question about it or an experience to share? Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. 1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. Love to hear from you. There are lots of questions about this. Somebody wondered right away, what about that growing medium? Can you reuse that growing medium?
The best thing about Mel's Mix is it is a one-time expense. Mm-hmm. We don't ever have to replace that soil. You might, after a few seasons, you will need to add to it, but you'll never have to replace it like you do traditional bagged soils.
And it's because, and why is that?
Well, you know, the peat and the vermiculite break down extremely slowly, and it gives enough loft to the garden mix. It's what we use to hold the water, yet let it drain well. And every time we harvest a square, we take a big trowel of compost and stir it back into that one square, and we've refreshed the nutrients on it, so we don't even have to use fertilizer.
So you just kind of mix it in, the new in with the old, and then just go on right on from there.
You just go right on from there.
We have callers online. You can join in, by the way. We'll get you on pretty quickly at 800-642-1234. We'll turn to Sally in Lancaster now. Sally, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, my question is, how does it work when you're dealing with plants like pole beans and sugar pod peas or cucumbers that need a trellis or need a support? How does that work in with the square foot idea?
Mm-hmm. Well, great question, Sally. We really encourage the use of a nice vertical support, and there's one excellent one that's shown in the book, and all it uses is three pieces of conduit, electrical conduit, two elbow joints, and a couple sections of rebar, and then we use a nylon trellis netting, and that's what these vegetables climb up. And it is super strong and just seems to last forever.
There you go. Does that help out, Sally?
Yeah, you're planting in a row then, and then it can climb on the trellis from a row versus in the square foot area?
No, it is in a square foot. You can go ahead and guide the plants to it. And with the beans and the peas, though, I personally recommend using more like a four bamboo stakes, 6 foot high, and lash them at the top to make like a teepee over that square. And I usually use the tendrils and just kind of weave it up those four supports.
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Sally.
Great. Thank you, Sally.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Amy on Facebook says she loves this method. No, she says no work, no weeds, and no worries.
Absolutely.
No work, no weeds. Well, there is some work. Now, Amy, come on. There's some work to this.
There is some work, but if you get the Mel's Mix, finding the ingredients for the Mel's Mix is probably the hardest part of the whole thing, because the blended compost, if you don't make your own compost and have to rely on bags of compost, we ask that you do at least five different types, like a manure, and then maybe one that's a mushroom compost, and then maybe one that is from the, you know, waste from sugar beets, things like that.
Okay, so that makes good sense. Talk a little bit more about the rest of the what you need for the square foot gardening. The tools are pretty simple.
The tools are extremely simple, and those are a trowel, and it can be a little cheap plastic trowel from the dollar store, a pencil, and a pair of scissors. And that is it. Now, if you don't happen to have a pencil on hand, look at your hand, and maybe at the end of it, you might have a couple of fingers to use.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, and the best thing is, it comes in a left-handed model, too.
Yeah, there you go. Now, what about the little wood squares? What do you use for that?
The wood squares.
The lumber. What lumber do you use?
Okay. Well, Mel is great. He came up with the idea of a 4-foot by 4-foot raised bed. Now, the reason he said that is because he's an efficiency expert. He was not a horticulturist. He is not a master gardener. He is an efficiency expert and a civil engineer. So he thought, okay, lumber is sold in 8-foot lengths. Let's just make one cut right in the middle and make a 4-by-4 raised bed out of it. And it only needs to be 6 inches deep.
6 inches for some people. You know, I do some straw bale gardening, for example, and at the end of the summer, when I'm the tomato roots, for example, go all the way to the bottom and into the ground.
Sure.
So somebody's going to say, well, good grief, what about carrots or what about these tomato roots that go way down?
Absolutely. Okay, for your carrots and anything that you want to grow long, it requires a top hat, what we call a top hat, and that is an individual 1-foot by 1-foot, also 6-inch deep, that you place on an individual square and fill that up with the Mel's Mix. So you're not having the expense of 12-inch lumber, and you're not having the expense of filling an entire 12-inch deep bed with that Mel's Mix. So that takes care of that. Now, remember, the grid is just laying on top of the soil.
Yeah.
So the roots can spread. I mean, I pull out 5-foot-long tomato roots every season out of my Mel's Mix, and it doesn't go down. It goes sideways.
It goes down a little ways, and then it heads
and
north
it
or someplace. There we
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. We don't really have any, you know, and it's not, these are not hard and fast rules. If you prefer to make your bed 8 inches or 12 inches, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't let it stress you. Also, my personal garden is 2 feet by 23 feet. I don't have a 4-by-4 bed.
Uh-huh.
So you customize this method to your needs.
And to kind of the space you've got, I
guess. Absolutely. And that's great, because in a row garden, you have to plow that whole area or rototill the whole area. And it's usually typical American backyard garden is 20 feet by 35 feet. And you would have to keep that all in one area. With square foot gardening, I would have a 2 by 23 against my fence, maybe a 3 by 5 raised bed up on legs, so that my mother, who is 92 mm-hmm. years old, she could not have to bend over and get on the ground. And then perhaps I would have a 4 by 4 or a 2 by 2 up on my deck. So you can split it up to where you need to have it.
Yeah, and I can see where you know, then you're really, with the kind of mix you've got there, weeds shouldn't really be a problem at all. I wouldn't think.
Weeds are absolutely no problem. The vermiculite and the peat moss have no weed seeds in them. The compost should have been heated up to 140 degrees, which kills almost all the weed seeds. The only way we do get weeds in our square foot garden is if a bird drops it or yeah. if it's blown in by the wind.
Yeah, that makes sense. Dave in West Bend has something for us. Hi, Dave. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you, Larry. I appreciate taking my call.
Sure.
I've been square foot gardening. I bought the original book back in the late 80s, and at first it was sort of tedious because I measured 1 inch for every seed, for carrot seeds and everything, and it came out beautifully. But with a growing family, I decided I need to get more yield out of my 10 by 20 garden. So I started to go vertical, and I built this trellis that was like 10 feet tall with strings and 1 by 2s, and it worked great for cucumbers and beans. But I have a fence now up on the back side of us, and I was looking into putting gutters up there for like lettuce and vegetables that don't need much, like a root structure. And I'm sort of wondering, will that Mel's Mix be okay to put in these 8-foot-long gutters, along the fence line, or you'd recommend something else for that kind of soil?
No, I think that's absolutely fabulous. We can use Mel's Mix in any application. We have a lot of people that put it into container gardening. That 3-foot by 5-foot raised bed I told you about up on the legs, that is actually 4 inches deep because those kinds of vegetables don't need much root space. And I found the instructions for that on University of Maryland. I just looked up Salad Table Maryland, and they have the instructions, and it's only 4 inches deep. Mel's Mix is wonderful for almost every application.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you yeah. so much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Taking a look at square foot gardening today with our guest, Kim Roman, who is owner of Square Foot Gardening for You. She's a woman veteran-owned, that's a woman veteran-owned business in Glen Burnie, Maryland. She's a certified instructor of square foot gardening. It's great to have her with us. Join in, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we visit about square foot gardening with our guest today. She's doing really fun to have Kim Roman with us. She knows a whole lot about it. She's actually a certified instructor of square foot gardening, and I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And let's turn to the phones again. Mark in Kakana has something for us. Hi, Mark. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I have just a couple comments. For the grid, I've been doing this for about 5 years. I got some of that like heavy wire that they put in concrete. I think it's got 4 or 6-inch squares. And just cut a piece of that and lay it on there. It seems to last longer. And it doesn't take up as much space as wooden grids.
Oh,
I wonder.
Yeah, comment on that, Kim?
You know, we just encourage everybody to make the square foot their own. It really, even though the top looks like it takes up a lot of room, it's the root space that matters, so it really doesn't hinder any root growth. But that's a clever idea.
Yeah, it worked really well. And the other question I had was the vermiculite. You know, if you go to like a local Home Depot or Menards, they have vermiculite that's loose for insulation purposes. But it's much cheaper than the regular bags of vermiculite. I'm wondering if that's the same stuff. It says vermiculite on it.
Yeah, as long as it says vermiculite, and it's vermiculite is mica. It's ground mica, and it's superheated until it pops like popcorn, and then it's run through a series of sieves, and then it's graded by how big the particles are. So just make sure it's large enough that it's not going to be. It's, if it's really fine, it won't work.
Yeah, this isn't really fine. It's certainly large enough. You can get a huge bag for about a third the cost of the regular.
Correct.
So. Okay, good.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And we'll turn next to Eric in Beloit. Eric, thank you for calling. Hello.
Thank you. Hello. I was going to comment. I have done some square foot gardening. I've done more with containers, which I assume is related. And I wanted to mention that one of the big issues with the container gardening is making sure that it stays wet or that you can keep it watered, because the containers are so small frequently, like the gentleman who was talking about with the gutters, that things can dry out quickly. And if there was any discussion on self-watering designs for containers, and things that like that, so that your plants can stay around if you go away for like a weekend.
Yeah, good point, Eric.
So with the Mel's Mix, because it has actually 1/3 peat moss and 1/3 vermiculite, once you really get that wet, it's only a matter of maintaining the moisture level. But yeah, self-watering containers are really the way to go, especially if you want to take a weekend away from the garden, go on a little vacation. That is just absolutely the way to go.
Thank you very much for that. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. We'll turn to, let's see, should we go to Mike next in Plymouth? Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I stumbled across something that, as a child, I tried to get an avocado plant to sprout, and someone said, put it in Shackley Basic H, and within a day, it sprouted. And I was always wondering, what was in Basic H? So last year, I inherited an abandoned hops garden, and I've never heard of a hop in my life. I never saw one.
Oh.
But I started digging and getting rid of the weeds, and I found something that is beyond description. I collected rainwater, and what I did is I gave those hops rainwater with hydrogen peroxide and alpaca manure, and I was getting a foot and a half growth per day. So this is one of those things that adds oxygen to the soil, and the roots were just taking off.
Well, hops are going to go pretty fast anyway, aren't they, Kim?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I've seen that a lot in Germany. We've spent a couple of tours in Germany and go past the hops farms quite often, and yes, they do take off, but those are really neat ideas. It's going to be fun to go ahead and try things like that out.
Ah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. Again, you can join in 1-800-642-1234. Ken from Janesville wanted to ask you, Kim, if you think organic soil is worth the extra cost. I'm assuming he's not talking about purchasing organic soil at a store.
Sure. Well, I mean, my thoughts are you're going to do what's best for you and your family with your research. For me personally, I have fibromyalgia, so I used to have very bad days where I'd be in bed, in pain. And once I got a lot of those kinds of toxins out of my system, I have tons more good days than bad days. So in my personal view, yes, it is. But if it's not in your personal view, that's okay.
All righty. We have, I've got Mel's book in front of me, High Value Veggies, which is a pretty cool book, isn't it?
It is awesome.
Where, there's quite a bit of pretty interesting how he figures things. And he kind of has a formula to figure out what makes sense to grow various things. How does that formula work?
Well, it's kind of fun. I am not a math person, so I got a headache reading the explanation on how he came up with it. But as long as someone else can do that hard work for me, I'm all for it. So basically what he does is he takes the yield per square foot over a full growing season, and he multiplies that by the average cost per pound at retail. And that gives him the value of the harvest for one season. Then he takes the total cost of inputs over a season, and that comes up with the net of the harvest or the return on investment or ROI. And I love it because he has it in the dollar amount and a percentage amount.
I do, too. It's pretty cool. And then he talks about what are the sort of the most efficient vegetables to grow, for example, as a top 10 list?
He sure does. And that was a kind of eye-opening. If you've looked at it, you see some things that kind of shock you. Nobody's going to be shocked that the number one on Mel's top 10 list is herbs, and he had to lump them all together because if he had taken them individually, herbs would have taken up the top 10. if you think about it, you go to the store, you go to the grocery store, and you can get like maybe 3 or 4 little tiny sprigs of thyme in a little plastic box, and it costs, a couple of bucks, $2, $3, $4 bucks. If it's organic, then it's probably $3, $4, or $5 bucks for just that little bit. Where you can grow 2 pounds of time in a single square foot.
Yeah, it's more than you're ever going to need. Well, at least in the, or you're going to be using an awful lot more than you planned. Yeah, that's
it. And you can dehydrate it, you can freeze it, you can put it, chop it up, put it in ice cube trays, fill it with water, throw it in the freezer, and you have thyme ready all year long from just a single plant.
Let's turn to Ashley next in Coloma. Ashley, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I had a question. So this is our first year at, I guess, a real garden, and we did decide to go with the square foot gardening. So my question is I guess, not two parts. They're kind of two questions. I guess I would ask, what are some of the things that most beginners get wrong about square foot gardening? And then my second question is just about vegetable plants. I got a little overzealous and started mine quite early, so I have a forest in my living room right now. But every evening, they droop down around the same time, and it makes me nervous, like there's something wrong with them. And then the next morning, they all perk up. So I was just kind of wondering if do plants sleep like we do? I was just really curious about that part.
Interesting. Let's hear what Kim's got to say. Kim?
Okay, well, I'm going to go to the first question first, which was what do beginners usually get wrong with square foot gardening? Or I would say any gardening method would be to start out too large. Don't get frustrated by making a huge garden. And you can make a square foot garden huge. I wouldn't go the first season, I would not go more than 2 or 3 4x4 raised beds until you're comfortable, especially if you're a new gardener, because it takes time to learn the individual likes and needs of each type of plant that you're going to grow. So by far and away, my best advice would be to start a little bit slowly. Now, it sounds like you have a living room that looks like a forest now.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of peppers and tomatoes.
You may have gotten a little bit, ahead of yourself on that. But as far as the drooping down, now I'm really not a specialist on the plants. I'm more of a specialist on the method. But as long as they're popping up and they've popped up in the morning every morning, are you using supplemental lighting with them?
Yeah, it's been really cloudy lately, so I've got a couple.
Okay.
I just use simple, shop lights.
Okay, now, are you turning them off? Are you turning them off in the evening?
I do just around the time after the sun goes down, which lately has been a little later. But on these cloudy days, I try to leave them on a little longer. Mm-hmm. And even with the light on, they'll kind of droop down, like, okay, I'm tired. And
yeah, maybe they are. Maybe you should put little blankets on them and put them to bed or something in the evening. But, yeah, I was going to caution you. Sometimes people leave the lights on 24 hours a day, and plants really do need a resting period from the light. So okay. I would not do any more than 12 hours on, 12 hours off.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
There we go. Appreciate
you.
Your call very much. And
thanks, Ashley.
And I was going to bring something up. Oh, and one thing, Ashley, with all those plants, I like to tell people to either have a little fan on once in a while or brush over them to make them a little stronger. It's just kind of nudge them a bit.
Absolutely. Like you can brush your hand gently across the tops of them, and that you're absolutely right.
I think it really kind of helps make for sturdier stems, let's put it that way. We have Lynn in Eau Claire with something for us. Lynn, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Wonderful show, as usual. And I would like to just make a comment that while we're planning our gardens, it's not a bad idea to plan a little bit more, because we still have a significant part of our population that cannot afford fresh herbs and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is I have a free little library. We set up a couple of crates with take what you need.
Oh,
what a nice idea.
Yeah, Lynn, I think that's fabulous.
I love that idea. And there are always places where if you don't have the little kind of free library right next door to you, that would be a sort of a natural attraction. There are organizations within the community. I would bet every community has them. Lynn, thank you.
Thank you so much. That's a wonderful idea.
We have Ann in Green Bay up next. Ann, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I just want to tell you I used tires last year for my little square foot gardens, and it worked out pretty well. I didn't have real good luck with some of my vegetables, but I had really good luck with zucchinis. But if you want to make them a little higher for carrots, you can do two high. If you want to do potatoes, you can do three high. And you can virtually get tires off a curb for nothing. So.
Yeah, you can. Kim, a comment?
Well, Ann, I think that sounds like a lot of fun. And we encourage creativity in square foot gardening, absolutely.
So yours aren't square, they're round. Round foot.
Round foot garden.
Round foot gardening.
Mel's goal is just really to get people to garden, period.
We'll take some more calls again, by the way. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I certainly love to hear from you. Meg said she's had great success with this type of gardening, but last year her garden was overrun with voles, she thinks.
Oh.
Have you had experience with dealing with voles?
Well, actually, that's one of those things that you would handle up front, and that would be to put when you have your open-bottomed
raised
bed.
Here's a look at what's coming up.
And you would put a hardware cloth, which is really a metal mesh, on the bottom of that, directly on the ground, so the voles can't dig up through it.
We have Mike in Rhinelander who says, let's see, what do we got for Mike here? Dealing with a little technical issue here. Sorry to be a little distracted for a moment. But Mike in Rhinelander says to remember there's a difference between vermiculite in the garden section and in the insulation aisle. You do want to use horticultural vermiculite. There can be asbestos in vermiculite, and the horticultural type is the asbestos-free type.
Okay, that in a way is a myth that's been perpetuated for decades, probably since the 1960s. There was one vein in one mine, I think in Montana, that had asbestos, but it was not in the same vein as where they were taking out the mica, which is the vermiculite. So there never really was any asbestos in that. And the good thing with it is we now test the vermiculite. Because of that myth, we test the vermiculite. So it really should not have asbestos in it.
All right. Well, I'm glad he raised it because that gives us a chance.
So.
Yeah, it gives us a chance for you to sort of say, no, that's no longer the case.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, I'd probably be wary. I would look to where it was mined. I would probably be a little bit wary if it came from China. Perhaps that, you know, I would not necessarily trust that they do the stringent testing that we do in the States, but no, here in the States should not be an issue at all.
Don wanted to know, what's the advantage of a raised bed instead of just, why can't I just plant it directly in the ground?
Well, the advantage of the raised bed is that you're not mixing your good Mel's mix with your existing soil. Also, being up higher, it will tend to be ready to use earlier in the spring, and then you can protect it and use it later in the fall. So that's kind of the advantage of having that raised bed.
We have another question here about the things to consider when deciding which vegetables to plant. You know, I think about All right, we've got square foot gardening, and somebody said, well, what about cabbage? I mean, I plant one cabbage, and it takes up the whole bed.
Well, we do it by the thin two directions again. And if the cabbage, the variety of cabbage that you're planting says thin two, 24 inches, then yes, that's going to take up a 2 foot by 2 foot space in there. But you can trim the outer leaves without any detriment to the interior cabbage head. So you can kind of maintain the growth or contain the growth that way.
Kim Roman, our guest today, she is a square foot gardening certified instructor. She's been using this method since the late 1980s. She owns Square Foot Gardening for You. Love to have her with us here on Garden Talk. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'll get you on pretty quickly here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Net as we talk square foot gardening with Kim Roman. Love to have her with us, and thank you so much for listening in. We'll take some calls at 800-642-1234. Amy and Madison up next. Hi, Amy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I had a question about Brussels sprouts, actually. My husband and I have a 12 by 12 garden space that we made in our backyard about 3 years ago. So we've been tending the soil with heavy clay soil. We finally have the soil to a good place, but for the last 2 years that we've tried growing Brussels sprouts, they just never mature. They get the heights that the Brussels sprouts are supposed to get, but the Brussels sprouts themselves don't develop. We'll wait and let them go all the way in close to the beginning of winter to let them fully develop, and they still never get big enough that they're worth harvesting. Is there a particular soil type that we should be focusing on? We've tried growing them inside of the space as well as the little herb garden I have around the outside, which I haven't been tending to that soil as well, so it's primarily clay. Is there something I should be doing in order to successfully grow Brussels sprouts? I feel like Madison is the place I should be able to grow them.
Yeah, for sure.
Larry, I think I'm going to turn that one over to you because I have not really been successful growing Brussels sprouts. My sister-in-law has fabulous Brussels sprouts, but I'm not sure if it's – I'm all the way out in Maryland, so I'm not sure I can help her.
Well, it's, you know, to some extent, it's a question. It could be a question of the variety. It could be a question of when do you get them in?
Usually I get my – if I plant them from seeds, I get them in right after the first frost is done. But if I pre-buy the plants, I usually don't get them in until near the end of May.
Okay, so, well, end of May, you shouldn't really have trouble with your Brussels sprouts planted that. I mean, that's about the right time you'd plant the Brussels sprouts. And okay. if you've been good about leaving them, and you get plenty of sun?
Yeah, it's the side of the garden I plant them on is full sun.
Oh, I don't know. I honestly don't know. There shouldn't be a problem. I would definitely try a different variety.
Okay. Well, that's true.
It may be just a varietal thing for you. So take a look at some other varieties, and you might even try a couple of different varieties and check them out and see how they do. And one of our master gardeners may have something more to say on that, Amy. So stay listening. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks, Amy.
We have Joan in Wyoming, Minnesota up next. Hi, Joan.
Hi there. I am a master gardener from Wyoming, but I have a square foot gardening question. My son-in-law in Waukesha has constructed some square foot gardening beds and intending to plant a variety of things, including tomatoes. But he put only a quarter-inch mesh of hardware cloth at the bottom, and I'm wondering if he needs a bigger mesh for the bigger root systems that tomatoes have and other big plants.
No, because we don't grow it down into the existing soil. We keep it right there in that top 6 inches. How we handle tomato plants, I would put the root ball in a corner. When I'm doing transplants, I do a root ball in the corner and make a trench to the center of that square and lay that st- stem in that trench, then cover that with the Mel's mix. And in a few days, it will pop straight up. Initially, when you plant it, it's going to kind of be poking out diagonally from the soil. Don't worry about that. Don't try to push it upright. And then that's, you know, that's where the root growth is going to come from. It's going to anchor it better into the raised bed, and he shouldn't have any trouble growing it in just 6 inches of Mel's mix. It has to be Mel's mix. If you're going to use your existing soil, then go ahead and you're going to have it going straight down. The reason we can get away with the 6 inches is because what the plant is looking for is moisture and nutrients. That's why it sends so many roots down deep. If you provide the moisture and the nutrients in that 6 inches, then it doesn't need to go down as deeply.
There we go.
So the quarter-inch space might be enough space for those roots to penetrate if they needed to go any deeper.
Well, then even if you're putting the mesh in, I would also put weed cloth down on top of the mesh. So, no, we don't have the roots going down at all.
Yeah.
And if he prefers, he can make that area. He can put a top hat on the area that he's growing tomatoes in. If he doesn't feel that it's sufficient, he can make that little area deeper.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks
awesome.
A lot.
Thank you, Joan.
Thanks a lot for calling. And let's turn to Leslie in Rhinelander next. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Great show. I do a lot of organic gardening and regenerative agriculture and biointensive gardening, which works with what you're saying. I have a couple of comments. One, I know you had a caller about the vertical space, and people tend to forget about vertical using space, and plants, as you know, have different requirements. Some grow taller, some grow shorter. So you can really use the availability of both horizontal and vertical space within these types of garden systems. The second point is, besides square foot gardening, in a small space, I work overseas and internationally in aid, and we do a lot of small mounded systems, and it's been shown that you can get 2 to 3 times the yield versus like an actual linear square foot system. Third point, high value veggies, the dollar amount, I think that's great. The other thing for people to take a look at is even within these small square foot gardens or mound gardens, is what they call nutrient-dense gardening. So they actually can, measure scientifically. There is a big difference between what you grow chemically and, say, organically or sustainably, and they've been able to demonstrate that you can actually get a lot more nutrients and micronutrients into the type of gardening that Kim is talking about. Last point, and she's right on target about the 6 inches or 12 inches, soil I teach about soil systems, usually requires about 25% air in pockets and 25% water particles. So what Kim is saying is true. You really don't need that deep a system as long as the plants are able to access that type of air pockets and water, and the type of mix that she's using is fantastic because it holds those air pockets and that water moisture. And that's all I want to say.
Wow.
Well, Leslie, I think you're my new best friend, so thank you for your call. I do love mounding systems. I do have other methods that I use in my garden, and one of them is a Hügelkultur, which is an Austrian method, probably what Leslie is talking about, and that does have a nice high yield per square foot of ground space.
Very good. Thanks.
It's Steph Holzer that she's talking about, the Hügelkultur, which is like a raised mound bed. Yeah. And I work with him overseas along with some other people, so Kim is right on target.
Oh.
It's a fantastic program.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Leslie. Appreciate the call very much. And Ed in Waupun, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Ed.
Hi, guys. Just a question on the Mel's mix.
Yeah.
Just curious on whether this would be a good mix for, say, a strawberry bed or possibly a raspberry bed.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if it's going to provide the nutrients that's needed for either or both.
Because it's one-third of a good blended compost, it is really welcomed by almost any plant. And, yes, I grow strawberries and fruit trees in Mel's Mix.
There we go.
Okay, so is this going to keep the weeds down in my strawberry bed? I mean, I've tried strawberries before, and they just kind of they were overtaken by weeds.
Absolutely. Again, the only way that we get weeds normally in a square foot garden is by the wind or by the birds dropping the seeds. And because we plant very strategically, like imagine a dice, you know, the dice, the number four. Let's say that that's where we strategically plant our lettuce seeds, our leaf lettuce. Something pops up in the middle where the number five would go, the fifth dot would go. We know immediately that that should not be there. We don't have to wait for it to become big enough to identify as a weed. We pluck it out immediately. So even when you do get weeds, you're going to be able to deal with them a lot more quickly and a lot more easily.
Hmm. All right. Super. Thanks for the help.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it, Ed. And on to Judy in Racine next. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Larry. I have two quick questions. Can you tell us Mel's last name? And are you going to just tease us, or are you going to tell us the other nine high-value veggies?
We can do that.
Mel's last name is Bartholomew. And yeah. Let me just kind of tease you with some of that list, because we would really love for you guys to go ahead and get the book either out of the library or buy it. Now, you're not going to be surprised that cherry tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes, and hybrid tomatoes also make the top 10 list. The one that's going to surprise you is parsnips.
Yeah?
So, I have never grown parsnips. I like parsnips. But it seems that you can grow them, or it's very costly to buy them. I didn't realize. Let me go on to the bottom 10, which is going to surprise people. The one that surprises everyone, the number one least value veggie is a potato.
Yeah.
So when you
makes
think
the
about
least
it,
thinking in terms of what makes the least sense to grow in a square foot garden.
Well, any garden.
Or any
really,
garden,
because
yeah.
It costs you $6.22 in things like soil amendments, water, seed potatoes. So you can actually purchase it a lot less expensively at the store or the farmer's market. Now, that's just the regular potatoes. If you want to do fingerling potatoes, purple potatoes, or a specialty variety, then it would probably be the less worse, I should say. And really, though, Mel wants you to not get hung up on the monetary value of the veggies. If you absolutely adore a good fresh, let's see what else, good fresh Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts is one of those that he suggests not to bother growing if you have little space. So, but if you adore it fresh out of that garden, then by all means grow it.
I really like potatoes fresh out of the garden.
Yes, yes. And
I mean, it's,
encourage you to do that. But just if you have so little space in your garden that you have to do what makes the most sense economically, then this is a great guide for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope, Judy, does that help out?
It does. Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
Judy.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Mel's been a guest on this program in the past, as a matter of
yes,
fact.
Yes, he has.
As well. It's always a lot of fun to have him with us, too. And it's fun to have you along at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We've been talking about Brussels sprouts, and here's something from Steve that I've absolutely forgotten. As soon as I saw his advice, I just sort of slapped my head a little bit. About growing Brussels sprouts, because the trick to Brussels sprouts is to clip the top of the plant off about mid-August, because then the growth of the plant goes into the fruit, the sprouts, and not into the top of the plant. And that's something I Don't know why I didn't think of that.
Wow.
If you top the plant,
okay.
The plant itself is then going to stick more of its efforts into growing the fruit itself. So there you go.
Oh, thanks, Steve. That helps.
This is sort of a non sequitur in a way, because it goes back to Wisconsin is the tobacco growing state, and I once worked in a tobacco field once when I was a kid, and they used to top the plants at a certain point in the summer, because then the growth would then go into the leaves. So it's makes perfect sense to me to do that for Brussels sprouts, and I knew that, and I just forgot to bring it up. We're having a lot of fun today, talking with our guest Kim Roman. Kim is a square foot gardening certified instructor. She's been using this method since the late 1980s, so she has tons of experience with it. She owns Square Foot Gardening for You. Great to have her along for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, as we take a look at square foot gardening today with Kim Roman, square foot gardening certified instructor. She's been using this method since the late 1980s. She's the owner of Square Foot Gardening for You. Lots of fun having her with us, and hope you'll join in with your questions. How do you decide what vegetables you want to grow? Do you care about how much it costs? We've got figures can tell you a little bit about which vegetables, for example, will give you kind of the most bang for your buck. You can join in the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Mary in Eau Claire has something for us. So let's go there. Mary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to comment about growing potatoes.
Yeah.
Being a faithful potato grower. Yeah, I love we love them. I started growing them, 6-7 years ago after reading Michael Pollan and reading about pesticides and all sorts of residues in vegetables and produce. And the level of pesticides in potatoes was like up in the, this one group called it the dirty dozen of pesticide fruits. Now, you know, another one is apples. I'm not going to put up an apple tree and take care of those bugs. But after reading, these potato farmers had their own separate potato patches for their own consumption. We consider that a cost-effective use of
some space.
Because of that issue.
Yeah. Comment on that?
I think that's an absolute valid point, Mary. And I do like Mel says, there are actually many types of value gardeners can enjoy from the garden. That's why when it comes to discussing true garden value, you have to consider what matters most to you and your family. And I wholeheartedly agree with that, and I think that's a really good point. I know what you're talking about, the dirty dozen and the clean 15, and that could be a very valid. If someone doesn't have a lot of space and they can find a good organic gardener that supplies potatoes at a farmer's market, then they have to do some figuring for themselves. But, yes, I agree with you.
I planted some in straw bales last year and had pretty good luck with my potatoes and straw bales.
Interesting.
Yeah, at the end of the time, you just, the bale kind of breaks apart, and there's the potatoes that don't even need to be, they're not dirty even. So it's kind of fun. Mary, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. I want to give Eric and Menasha a chance to join us. Eric, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've never done the square foot gardening, but it sounds like a great idea and a great opportunity with the raised bed to possibly bend some hoops over it and then use, some of the row covers and insect nettings, that more commercial type of operations use to extend the growing season or, you know, pest problems. And you could probably even, if you could find a scrap piece of greenhouse material, you could probably even have a mini greenhouse going earlier in the year.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that is in the book is our dome, and that is just two pieces of 10-foot length PVC pipe, half inch, so that it bends, and you do corner to corner and corner to corner. And on top of that, you would put netting or tulle material on it if you have pest problems. You would put shade cloth on it if you wanted to extend your lettuce growing. You would put plastic on it, like you said, is like a little greenhouse. And so it's really adaptable. It's very small. And in a 4x4 area, you can plant 16 different vegetables, herbs, and flowers in that little space. And with proper planning, you can use each of the squares 2 to 3 times during the growing season. So you can make your garden even smaller.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Eric. And just to go along with that, Jerry on Facebook has 2 4x8 square foot gardens that work very well. He, for fast growing crops like radishes, he plants a new square, 16 plants, every other week in the spring, and has a nicely placed harvest. He also reminds us, by the way, that rabbits can hop onto a raised bed. He says to attach a chicken wire or plastic fence around the wooden bed edge, and that can work pretty well.
Absolutely. And I would also add that I prefer plastic-coated chicken wire because it doesn't pinch you as much.
That's a very good point. John in Appleton, it's your turn.
Yes, hi, Larry. I've been a fan of square bed or square foot gardening since Mel Bartholomew came out with his first book, and I've had great success for it with it. However, 25 years ago, I moved into the city and put up a 4x25-foot raised bed with some walnut trees about 40 feet away, unknowns to me what walnuts do to tomatoes and stuff. Well, over the years, I had issues with that, so I essentially made, and my neighbor's trees grew up over the years, and I lost my sunlight, and I started having problems with the walnut trees. So I made a raised bed on wheels, and I can put that in the backyard and get my early stuff going before the trees bud out, and once they start budding out, I can roll my raised bed to the end of my driveway where I get about a good 8 hours of sun. So that's one thing that I've learned to adapt to conditions.
You're a handy guy. You are a handy guy, John. Have you got a photo of that?
Yes, I do. And one nice thing about a raised bed, too, is in the last few years, I've turned it into a cold frame so that I can get things going. I planted lettuce and spinach on March 11th. It's not doing real well because we don't have any decent weather. But it's up. It's growing, but they're just staying very small. And my raised bed, my one in the backyard, I didn't know what to do with because I can still grow some things in it, but I just don't get enough light. So I adapted it. I wanted to either get rid of it or make it bigger. So on top of my 2x12s, I laid a 2x4. So I essentially bumped it up and was able to add a bunch of organic material to my kind of depleted soil as well.
There you go. Well, listen, shoot a photo. If you've got a photo of that and you can post it up on our Facebook page, I'd love to see it.
Sure.
Me too.
I've had a lot of interest. People walk by the on their evening walks, and I've got it's about 30 inches wide, 8 feet long, and it's about 15 inches deep.
Oh.
So it's really bigger than it needs to be, is my research and development. because I've tried growing tomatoes and stuff in large landscaping pots, which I've not had any success with. So I made this big raised bed, and I've since made smaller ones, which are really nice. And I plan on kind of maybe seeing if I can sell a couple here and there. So anyhow, I'll send you some pictures.
I'd love to see it.
Wonderful.
And you're able to lug that around, eh?
It's pretty heavy. I won't well, I won't deny it, you know, because when it's wet, when it's full of wet, it's basically potting soil. It's a very, very light mixture. And I've had real good success. I put a bunch of tomato plants in there with lettuce and other things. And once the tomato plants start taking up room, well, my lettuce has already been harvested. So
anyway,
you can get a bunch of crops in there.
John, thanks a bunch. Put that up on my Facebook page. It's the Larry. Our Facebook page title is the Larry Mueller Show. So do that. What a great, you know, aren't gardeners inventive? You think of all the inventive things we've heard today on the show, Kim.
Oh, they're great, and that's kind of how Mel came up with the idea of square foot gardening, because he would go to gardening classes and they'd, you know, tell him that you needed to rototill the soil and you needed to plant it in, you know, 6 inches apart, but the rows had to be 30 inches apart, and you know, there were just so many rules with gardening, and, you know, every time he asked, well, why do we do that? Why do we sprinkle a whole packet of seeds only to rip all of them out except for a couple, and why do we do this? And so everybody would say, well, because that's the way we've always done it. And that didn't set well with him, and so he decided to invent his own method of gardening. And sometimes it takes someone out of the discipline of gardening, out of horticulture, to kind of come up with a different take on gardening.
And you mentioned seed, and Dolores brought emailed in about the seeds are so small. How do you? Her wondering was, how do you plant them individually? I mean, it's very hard to plant some of those seeds are really small.
They really are. What I have found that works for me, and I just posted a little video on my Facebook page, I take and I sprinkle the seeds out on a white plate so that I can see them. I take a little container of water and a wooden toothpick. I dip the toothpick into the water, and you're able to pick up an individual seed and then put it into the hole where you want it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a very neat way to do it, for sure. So what's your Facebook page title, by the way?
Square Foot Gardening for You, the number 4 and the letter U. You can also use the Square Foot Gardening Foundation Facebook page, and I also help administer that one.
And we'll get those up. Jill will have those up on our Facebook page as well. So we got links for everybody.
Perfect.
If they didn't get that down. Alice in Gays Mills up next. Hi, Alice.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I have one friend who had done square foot gardening, which was really my only experience with it. And I didn't get a whole lot of detail from her, but I know she, one of the reasons I believe she gave it up, although I haven't asked her in recent seasons, was she had lots of problems with rabbits, and everything was so beautiful in her square foot garden. I think it was rabbits mainly, but she wasn't absolutely sure. Some other critters more so than voles, which you already covered. And everything in her beautiful square foot gardens was so much more appealing than the wild things that were out there available to them. Here's a river, as we do, a different river. But, you know, so we have lots and lots of wildlife around, which is true of many people who live in cities now as well. So I think keeping critters from devouring all the vegetables you hope to eat yourself is a real challenge. And if you have a small garden, what are your recommendations? Anything new other than what I may have heard already over the many years I've gardened?
Well, if you look at Mel's book, his all new square foot gardening book, he actually has developed something called a critter cage, and that's using chicken wire. Again, I prefer plastic coated chicken wire, and you just take two lengths, bend it in thirds, and take a second length, bend it in thirds, and you will take all the seams, the side seams, and you would use cable ties for that, and you flip it upside down, and it makes a critter cage where they cannot access it. It's a physical barrier to the raised bed.
So
that's what we use.
Yeah.
And get at their vegetables as they choose.
I'm sorry?
How do you get to at the vegetables?
Oh, I would add another larger cable tie on the top and use that as a handle. You just pull it off, you work in your garden, and you just set it right back on.
Very easy. There we go. Thanks, Alice, for calling. Appreciate it. Thank you. And we go to, listen, Dennis in Watertown wondered if you can use cardboard or newspaper on the ground if you're building your bed on a grassy area. And does it make a difference whether you plant in a north-south direction or east-west?
Well, Dennis, you can. I'm not going to tell you you can't use newspaper and cardboard. We prefer to use the heavy-duty weed cloth in there, but it's a matter of personal preference. And as far as north-south, the only stipulation I would put is if you're doing vertical gardening, your vertical structure needs to be on the north side so that it's not shading your other vegetables too much.
There we go. And now on to Matthew in Milwaukee. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My mother lives in a nursing home locally here in Milwaukee, and she has a south-facing patio kind of thing. It's concrete, and it's in a... Her building is brick faced, so it's in a little three-sided kind of alcove. Gets a lot of southern sun, and she really, really loves the garden, wants to plant tomatoes. But the last time we tried it, because of her reduced mobility, she wasn't able to keep them watered very well, and they just kind of fried. I was wondering if I could, the patio above, when it rains, it drips a lot of water, and I was wondering if you thought it would be a good idea to maybe put some... just go to the dollar store, buy some plastic funnels and some, clear plastic tubing and arrange kind of a drip system to help kind of save that water. Plus, when it drips, she's on the ground floor, so it's kind of undercutting her patio anyway.
Well, I think what I would suggest is if she has mobility issues is to look at creating what we call a tabletop garden, and that is putting the bottomless, normally bottomless raised bed, we would put a plywood bottom on that and drainage holes, one per square, plus an extra hole in each corner, and then put it up on legs, or to find a very stable old picnic table without the benches and use something like that would lift it up to a good height for her. As far as your water, I think, yes, that would probably be a good idea if you can do a drip irrigation system for her, maybe on a timer, that would be great, or collect the rainwater as you talked about. I think those are all wonderful ideas for her. With tomatoes, of course, it's consistency in the watering that makes a huge difference so you don't get blossom end rot.
Right. I was also kind of wondering if you thought maybe some kind of a garden sprayer, like a gallon sort of canister. Obviously,
that
you just purchased from the store that you could kind of stand in the doorway. Her slab is basically the size of a large rectangular banquet table.
Okay.
It's not very big.
Yeah.
But with a sprayer can like that, I thought maybe she could even stand in the doorway. She wouldn't have to go out even. I was going to put a couple pots in the corner where they would get at least some shade during the day.
Oh, that sounds like a doable solution.
Worth a try.
Right. And the only concern with using water out of the spigot or the inside faucet is, of course, chlorine. So if it would help her, she would probably put the water into some kind of a vessel and let it sit for about 24 hours and kind of stir it with her hand and let a little bit of that chlorine dissipate, or use a chlorine filter.
Right. That's a good idea.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Thanks, Matthew. Well, I should say we have a couple of photos up on our Facebook page. Kathy sent a nice photo of her square foot, 4x4 garden spaces. Been at it for 4 or 5 years, and I 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She's got a lot of room because she's got about 15 of those 4x4 spaces, and it looks just absolutely wonderful. Oh, man, it looks great. And then we've got another one from Jesse who wants some suggestions and I on his garden space. And actually, he's with us. So let's and there is a photo. Let's go to Jesse. Jesse, hi.
Hello, sir.
So you have a space there that
can you see it?
Yeah, I can. We can see it, and it's kind of you got a little fence around a corner by the of a corner of your building.
By my garage, yeah. I made a little hobbit garden out of the tree that I trimmed down last weekend. But so what I want to know is if hay bales would work well in that space. And that space faces the west. So we'll get sun, you know, about noon.
Okay. It'll work. You won't get as you may not. It looks like that sun may last a long time. But what do you think, Kim?
I brought it up. If you don't start getting sun until
it's going to be
noon,
it's late.
I would Google shade loving vegetables, and there are some great resources. Like Mother Earth News Magazine had an article, 40 great vegetables and herbs that grow in partial shade, so that might help you. At least you'd be able to do some of it. A lot of herbs could go in there. Lettuces, greens, broccoli family can grow in shade.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jesse. I want to give Amy in Connecticut a chance. Amy, have you got a quick comment?
Yes, Larry. First of all, just wanted to thank you so much for these gardening shows and for featuring Square Foot Gardening. It's just wonderful to hear this on your radio show. Kim, great job. And this just reminds us that April is National Gardening Month.
Yeah.
We also celebrate Earth Day later this month.
Yeah.
And yesterday was World Health Day. So I think, helping folks understand how to get growing food at home in such a small space with such an easy method is just really exciting. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Calling and for that reminder. It's right. April is National Gardening Month. You know, of course, I looked out my window this morning and there was snow on the ground. But it's gone.
But tomorrow.
It's gone. It's gone already. And we'll be gardening soon. And Kim, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being with
thank
us.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. Kim Roman, Square Foot Gardening Certified Instructor. She's the owner of Square Foot Gardening for You. And it's the number 4 and the letter U, Square Foot Gardening for You. And we've got links to her pages and her information on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page for that. Talking Allen Centennial Gardens next week on Garden Talk. And on Monday, we'll talk about World Voice Day with some folks from the Voice and Swallow Clinic. So I hope you can be with us for that as well. In the meantime, it was lots of fun. Thank you so much for listening. And please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.